Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Cases of livestock worrying are on the rise. Dogs chasing or attacking livestock or sheep can result in significant injury or suffering, and in the worst cases, the death of the animals involved. And with those livestock fatalities surging in recent years, this of course can also lead to perfectly healthy dogs needing to be put down. Well, I'm joined now by dog behaviour expert Kathleen Murray on the steps you need to take to have an incident-free country walk with your dog. And also on the line, we have Hazel Mullins, President of Veterinary Ireland, who's also a dairy farmer and a large animal vet. And you're both welcome to the programme. Hazel, I want to start with you. I mean, how big a problem would you say livestock worrying is for farmers? Or what have you seen yourself in relation to all of this?
Yes, good morning, Claire. Unfortunately, in my last 10 or 11 years in practice, I have attended far too many of these post-dog attacks, particularly on sheep. They'd be the main one I would have attended, and every single one of them still stays with me because they are just so distressing and so horrific. Obviously, there's certain parts of the country that have higher density of sheep, but then sometimes, you know, maybe in more dairy areas, like I'm from kind of quite a dairy part of Cork, but there is quite, you know, maybe pedigree sheep farmers as well, and like that are in that area, lowland sheep as well. So it's not just up in the mountains or, you know, in the west or in Kerry, in the Wicklow, that there can be sheep in the area. So it's just for people to be aware that just because they don't think they're living in a sheep dense area, there could be actually, you know, pet sheep or in the area as well.
And it is sheep really that are the target of dogs when this happens. They're just really vulnerable to attack, aren't they?
They are, and you know they disperse quite quickly. They're quite affected by stress as well. Sheep, they, you know, dogs generally go for their neck or their head. Generally, the injuries there are quite horrific. They go also for the back legs. Dogs, I'm sure Kathleen will say that, you know, it's not just one particular breed. Yes, I suppose the herding and hunting breeds, especially crosses of these breeds, are particularly common that it does happen to. But even the terriers and the small dogs, they can cause quite, you know, maybe smaller injuries, but they're still causing quite a lot of stress to the animal. And then if the animal, say the sheep is in lamb, that can cause abortions later on after the attack. And they can go on for quite a few weeks as well. Also, you know, running animals into, you know, drains and ditches, and sheep, unfortunately, you know, sometimes they have their heavy fleeces on, that if they go near water, they will drown. Mm-hmm. So it's not just dogs biting. It's actually just the chase can do a lot of damage as well.
And the stress of it then as well, you know, which can manifest, as you say, weeks and weeks later in the sheep.
Yeah, exactly. And sheep are particularly sensitive to stress.
Right. Now, Kathleen, let's talk to you about this, because Hazel referenced the breeds there, but really you can't rely on any dog breed to react in a calm way when they're on the loose with sheep there.
Yeah, well, any dog, as we said before, is a liability whenever there are sheep in the area. So it doesn't matter the size, the shape of the dog makes no difference at all. Even a Chihuahua can spook sheep. It might not be able to do a lot of damage to the sheep, but it can do indirect damage, because a lot of sheep are not used to dogs at all. And if you're only walking past the field of sheep, you don't even have to be in the field with the sheep. If you're only walking past with your dog, a sheep can get spooked by the sight of the dog and start to run. And when one runs, they all run, and they can go through wire fences, you know, as you say, into drains, anywhere like that at all. A lot of damage can be done even that way, ripping themselves on fences and things as well. So, you know, that's why it's incredibly important that you take responsibility for your dog when you're, and not necessarily even being in a rural area. A lot of animals, a lot of livestock are kept in fields close to urban areas as well, on the outskirts of maybe housing estates and things. There may be a couple of fields and things. Sometimes people in towns, they may have sheep in there as well. So you have to be careful all around you.
Yeah, I mean, there's an information campaign running on the radio at the moment where the point is made, it's not your dog's fault, it's your fault as the
That's
owner.
Right.
We have to be the responsible dog owners. But when you're walking past sheep with your dog, what are the signs that you will notice that your dog has an unhealthy interest in those sheep? How does the dog start to behave?
Okay, well, any dog at all walking past sheep, the first thing they're going to do is pick up the scent, and they'll lift their head and they'll turn and they'll look and they'll see the sheep. And that's the moment that you make the decision about what you're going to do from there on in. Because as soon as the dog looks at the sheep, it may just be having a passing glance and then walk on. But if it's not a passing glance and it actually takes a step towards the sheep and shows a bit more interest and is a bit more focused, then you have to start paying attention to that at that moment right there. Never miss the opportunity to spot the moment when the dog is actually starting to show interest for the first time. Now, if you're walking up the road and the dog is hauling you towards the field of sheep, like you're way in over your head at that stage, you have a lot of work to do there. So, and the dog shouldn't be in the area until you start working on some obedience training first. The dog to listen to you in the first place, because dogs that drag you towards fields of sheep or drag you in general are not listening to you. When you're looking mostly at the back end of the dog instead of the front end of the dog, you've got things the wrong way around.
Mm. So, how do you address that? It sounds like a tricky one to fix.
Yeah, well, when you've got if you can start off young now, there's a lot of dogs that have gone past the young stage at this stage that are showing signs. But if you've got a puppy, that's the time to really start. The first time that you walk a puppy past a field of sheep or any livestock at all, just keep on walking as if there's nothing there and encourage the puppy to pay attention to you rather than the field of sheep, so you can hold out a treat and encourage the puppy to walk on by like there were no sheep there at all. Now, if the puppy stops and has a look, just try and divert the attention back to you again and make it more interesting, make you more interesting than the sheep, and then keep moving on. So, because if you want to stop and allow the dog to sit and observe the sheep, chances are the sheep, one of them is bound to get spooked maybe sooner or later or come up out of curiosity and then decide to run. And it's that run that excites that prey drive in the dog. Once the sheep starts to move, that's when the big attention is paid. So you're better just to keep on moving past the field if you can, because it's the best thing. Just move on as if there's no sheep there. And if the dog is pulling back, then you need to work on getting the dog to pay more attention to you. Mm-hmm. And that can be done at home, even before you even leave to go out. You can bring the dog to other areas where there's distractions, maybe children playing with a ball, things like that, before you bring it to the sheep, so that the dog actually already has some obedience training. They already are listening to you. They already understand what it means. Let's go.
Yeah,
and just move on. Yeah,
you have to be prepared to put the work in,
in
all of that. And Hazel, just coming back to the impact of all of this, there's the obvious impact on the animals. But I know our colleague in the newsroom, Joe McGreely, has carried some reports on the 6-1 about the impact on the farmers and on their families. I mean, it just can be absolutely devastating when this happens. And you've seen that many times at first hand, haven't you?
Yeah, and I'm actually just here sitting talking to you at the foot of the Galtees. And every time I'm on a sheep farm here, every single one of them has stories that would just horrify you. And, you know, I was a very young vet the first time I went to a sheep attack when I was down in Kerry. And it was just so, you know, it stayed with me since, and it was horrific. And just the injuries, there was a pen of sheep met me when I arrived. You know, there was probably nearly 20 sheep. Some had really bad injuries, some had minor injuries. You know, it was just, I just wasn't prepared for what I saw. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, obviously when you're a vet and when you go to these calls, you have to take photographs, you have to document what you say may need to put down or stitch or treat. So you have to document everything. So it's quite detailed when you do this call on the farm. And yeah, like I know I've sat around tables of farmers and they've told me their stories. And it is, you know, even last year I was at a calving actually, and they have sheep as well. And they brought me in for a cup of tea afterwards. And they said, because I write for the Examiner as well, and they just said, Hazel, please, could you write an article in the Examiner just to highlight, you know, the impacts of this on farmers. And, you know, I did. So yeah. It's just, yeah, it's horrific.
And in your experience, are those attacks, let's say that first one you went to, was that one dog that carried out that attack, or was it a number of them?
Yeah, so that particular one was actually two Springer Spaniels. And they were just you know, general pet Springer Spaniels, and they just worked as a pack, and they did a lot of damage between the two of them.
And can you explain, I come to Kathleen on this as well, explain that pack mentality to me, because I'd say there are people listening to this looking at their dog sitting on the floor snoozing and just wondering how that could ever happen. But that behaviour, Hazel, the pack behaviour, how does it work? Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe Kathleen actually might
go ahead, Kathleen. You can take that one for us.
Okay. Well, a pack is a very well organized hunting machine, and very few urban dogs or owned dogs basically don't really form what you would call a coordinated pack anymore. What they do is they may meet up, they may all run together, they may be get excited by the sheep, but there's no coordination whatsoever for the hunt. They're all running just after the sheep. Everybody's just grabbing whatever they're grabbing. There's no pack at all. It's just a crowd of dogs running after sheep, mauling sheep, completely out of control. And if a dog gets into a field, even one dog gets into a field to run after sheep, you'll be hard-pressed to catch that dog before it's damaged on. It will have run the sheep ragged at that stage. So you can imagine if there's a few dogs running together and they're running this way and running that way. Because if you think of a wolf pack, they're very highly organised. And if the leader of that pack, they have a hunting strategy. And if the leader of that pack dies, they have to re-strategise. They have to the dynamics of the pack change. So therefore, they have to start hunting maybe smaller things again till they get the coordination, so they get their positions right, so they know who's going to go what direction. Whereas dogs, domestic dogs, don't have that. They just get out there and start running and get excited by the chase. It brings out the predatory drive in them, but they've no coordination.
Right.
So they're doing a real mess.
I mean, I want to put this delicately, but the dog who has no experience of this is going to do awful damage here, not like a hunting wolf.
Savage damage, brutal damage altogether. And no matter how much education, no matter how many times you say it, every year it happens and you wonder how is that possible? Because people all know that sheep, you know, that livestock shouldn't be chased. They know they should have their dogs on the leads in the countryside, hill walkers. Even as I say, in rural areas or in urban areas, you have to be so careful because there can be sheep anywhere. You could turn a corner at the end of a housing estate and there could be a field of sheep there. So you can't just let dogs run and do what they want. And obedience training is still a must for all dogs. I don't care what size they are, what shape they are. If you can't get your dog to come back the first time you call it when there's distractions, then that dog should not be off a lead.
Mm-hmm. And the law around this is, Kathleen, that the farmer can legally shoot the dog, can't they, if the dog is worrying sheep?
Yes, there are circumstances where a farmer is definitely within his rights, legally within his rights, to shoot the dog, especially if there's no owner and the dog is worrying the sheep. And say if a dog is into a field, it's very hard to catch that dog because a field is big. It's a long area and you'd be running a long time before you catch it. And the more you run, the more it runs. So, you know, that's why sometimes it's necessary to actually stop it because it can do a lot of damage and the poor sheep are suffering really badly. And in the end of the day, the poor dog suffers as well. And it's all the fault of the owner for having allowed them the freedom to go out and do whatever they want.
So, Hazel, the bottom line for you is keep your dog on a lead when you're going out for a walk. No argument there.
Yeah, 100%, Claire. I think we just need to avoid these happening in the first place. Because it's for the farmers, for the dog owners, everyone involved, the animals. It's not a good situation and we need to prevent it happening in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And I spoke about the distress for the families who own the sheep and they see the aftermath of this. For the family who owned the dog, if the dog has to be put down, that's a terrible situation for them as well.
It is, and I've been in that situation myself, you know, being the vet that had to put down dogs, and it is very, very difficult. It's a really sad situation and it's just one that nobody wants to be in.
Mm-hmm. And Kathleen, I know you advocate for training all of the time, but really, I mean, can you argue with what Hazel is saying? Keep your dog on the lead.
Well, where you're around livestock, that's an absolute must. But I mean, I do really feel for the animals. I feel for the sheep because they're the ones being mauled. You can imagine the pain that they go through, and for the dog, if the dog ends up getting shot or being put to sleep. There's pain involved. There's terror involved, you know, and it's absolutely awful, you know. So, I mean, obviously the animals are number one for me. They're who I feel for most.
Yeah.
But people take chances with dogs. They're only playing with the sheep. They're only doing this. They're only going to go in and kill sheep. That's what they're going to do. So wake up is my message to them and see the light.
All right. Well, look, that's where we'll finish it. And probably good advice there from both of you. That's Kathleen Murray and Hazel Mullins.